Okay, we are moving right along in the Meira Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, and today we're going to begin and hopefully complete chapter 21, Perach of Aleph. So just to get our locations, we're in the Schwartz edition. Perach Chafalov of Chedek Sheni appears in 328, page 328, and in the Pinnis edition, the Meir Nevuchim, chapter 21 of the second volume appears on page 314. So that's the okay. Now let's once again going back to what we were speaking about. The Rambam has been raising issues. In fact, actually, we go back to page 325, which is the end of Perek Yotes. The Rambam seemed to have raised questions, which seems to be the theme of all these chapters, both chapter 20 and 21. The Rambam says at the end of Perek Yotes, I'm reading from the Schwartz edition. This brings us to Bedika Zoyis Hevia Isan Lakosh Te Bayot. This comes to us to we have to investigate two problems. Ha'achas, the first problem is Haim Mitzius Shel Hashoyni Hazeh Mechayeves Sheze Yeh Behechrech Bekavonas Mechuvah. In other words, does the assortment of different types of things we see in nature, you know, the different positions of the planets, the different velocities, etc., etc., does this imply that there has to have been a willful creator, right, with kavana? V'lo al derech achiyev v'shem hazeh lo mischayev. Or perhaps, in fact, actually no, that, in other words, we don't have to attribute the creator had a will, had a free will determining the different parameters of nature, but rather, in fact, actually, this could be all encompassed within a deterministic system. That's the first question that the Rambam raises. And the second question that the Rambam raises is, Habayash Niyah, the second question is, in Makol Hayah B'Bechuvin, the Kavanah B'Chuvin, Asher Yichud Yichud Zeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu stipulates nature the way it is, with the specific parameters which we measure in the world. Hayim Mischayev Mizeh, Shizeh Yischadish Lach HaHeder, or Shizeh Lo Mischayev. In other words, does this have to be necessarily creation ex nihilo after nothingness, or does it have to, or does not necessarily imply that it has to be created after nothingness, okay? That's the degree of free will. But in any case, so the Rambam in chapter 20 understood that, in fact, actually, that that things have to be with Kavanah, because of our ability to imagine that parameters could be not necessarily what they are. Now, in Perek Chaf Aleph, he's going to bring an opinion which he attributes to certain philosophers who subscribe to the eternity of the world. It's not clear which philosophers these are. I don't see in Professor Schwartz's footnotes that he references anything, and I certainly do not see in Professor Pina's too that he references anything. But nonetheless, it appears that there are certain philosophers who felt that in a certain sense, one could actually incorporate willfulness within a model of eternity. In other words, we could define Ratzon, will, in such a way that we can make it part of the Aristotelian concept of the eternity of the universe. In other words, what the Rambam is going to say is that we don't have to look at the issue as being black and white. In other words, either Kadosh Baruch Hu has a will and the world was created ex nihilo, Or, let's say, from a Platonic point of view, framed from amorphous matter, or Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a will and everything's mechuvin. In other words, what we could say is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, has a will, but that the world is eternal. In other words, now, once again, we have to back up and discuss really what are we talking about. Why is it important for the Rambam for Kadosh Baruch Hu to have a will? It's important for the Rambam for Kadosh Baruch Hu a will, because without a will, then Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have free will. If he doesn't have free will, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot, in fact, punish people, cannot reward people, cannot make ethics, cannot make law, he cannot choose Klai Yisrael, cannot choose a prophet, etc., etc. In other words, ascribing to a Kadosh Baruch Hu will is fundamental in the Jewish religion, in Jewish philosophy. And the Rambam says this explicitly in chapter 25, but this is an important thing. So in other words, on the other hand, as we've seen, there are very good reasons for us to believe that the world is eternal, in a Aristotelian sense. I mean, we've spoken about that a few times. Going back to Parakeet Gimel, we've seen that, in fact, actually, the assertion that that the world is a eternal Aristotelian sense guarantees us our monotheistic concept of God, that there's no change in the will of God. So in other words, basically, and the way we've been learning the Moreh Nevuchim, there's a dichotomy between God's will versus God's incorporeality, monotheism versus ethics, ontology and ethics. So in other words, because of this, the Rambam is faced, the way we've been learning the secret message of the Moreh Nevuchim, that in fact the Rambam is faced with an irreducible dichotomy, and then because of that, that creates the types of stiras, the contradictions, the paradoxes of the Moreh Nevuchim that we found all along. But wouldn't it be nice to have a unified field theory in which we can actually combine ontology and ethics? In other words, somehow we can attribute to nature a willful determinism in such a way that the monotheistic idea and the ethical idea are combined in one theory. So what the Rambam is going to do in chapter 21 is he's going to consider the opinion of certain people who believe that they can achieve a certain type of a synthesis, and the Rambam is going to, in fact, actually, as you all well know, is Baruch Hashem going to reject this, and then we're basically going to be left with our same existential duality, which we might have to actually carry with us after the Moreh Nevuchim. Okay, so let's begin with that introduction. Let's begin with chapter 21. Okay. Da, what you know, says the Rambam. I'm reading from the Schwartz edition on page 328. Da, shebein hamuchadim miben hafilosofim hadoiglim mekadmas ha'olam, among the later philosophers of those who subscribe to the eternity of the world. Okay, and once again, I don't see either in Pinnis or in Schwartz that any reference is made to these philosophers. There actually is actually a lot of mafoshim commentaries on Aristotle. If you go to the library there, there's a whole shelf of commentaries on Aristotle. But I wasn't about to go look through all the, you know, like 25, 30 books written on the concept of Aristotle. But evidently, it could possibly be the Rambam is really probably when he speaks about mucharim. Could possibly be the Rambam is speaking about the, you know, Islamic philosophers. In other words, because knows Aristotle wasn't really interested in any type of a synthesis of ethics and ontology, right? But on the other hand, though, in other words, religious theologians might be more interested in something like this. So could possibly the Rambam is really referring to some type of, you know, later Islamic philosophers. And that's what he means. Muhammad ben philosopher adon mekamas ha'olam means that religious philosophers who basically, you know, there was on one hand believed in the Trinity because they wanted to believe in science. On the other hand, though, they subscribe to a theory of divine providence and ethics. In any case, so among these, Yesha Oimim Shaha Kelis Ala Poilasa Oilam, God, in fact, Poilasa Oilam, Schwartz, interestingly enough, translates this, means creates the world, which actually means sense here. I think he translated from Poil to Oisa, because Poil basically, I think, because we're speaking about the instant of creation. We're not speaking about the continual energy which God, you know, we're not speaking about that God moves the world at all times. We're speaking about the initial creation, right? As this will be made very, very clearly in what follows. So Yesha Oimer Shakel Yis Ala Poilas Ha'olam Boicha B'mitziusai, right? Decides that it should exist. Miskaven loy, and he makes the world the way it is. In other words, he sets the world the way it is, which means, according to the Rambam, he sets all the parameters of nature, you know, the velocities of the planets, the locations. He says everything the way it is. So now he says, but. So once again, so this sounds very interesting. So this sounds like Briyish Miayin, or at least actually Plato's eternity. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in a willful act, right? Which is what the Rambam is arguing. So how could these philosophers of eternity, right? So here's the punchline.
Even
Interesting. The Rambam's understanding of the willful creation of the world is that it happens at a certain time. Even though the Rambam's already told us it doesn't happen at one time because the time is being created, but in other words, it's an event. It happens at a certain time. Let's go with him right now. Even though we've argued, I think very reasonably, that in fact actually the Rambam that Krishna Stilo doesn't have a certain time. But whatever it is, let's assume this then. No, it didn't have at a certain time. Why? In other words, because remember, in Parak Yud Gimel, the Rambam says that what's the, in other words, the argument that one should make for a Sicilian eternity is that how could you say that God, right, gets a will, the Schadesh, in other words, there's a creation of a will in God. Because if we say that God didn't have a will, doesn't have a will, God created the world. So before creation, whatever that means, God didn't have a will to create it, then he had a will to create it. So what you're doing is, you're ascribing a change to God, which of course is what? Which of course is anathema, right, to the Rambam's, to monotheism, in particular the Rambam's negative theological notion of monotheism. So in other words, that's the main argument that Aristotle made for believing in the eternity of the world. In other words, if a person believes that creation took place either at a certain instant or at, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, a certain Google, whatever it is, right? Then you're forced to say that there was a change in God, right? And that at a certain instant or a certain tracheon, whatever you want to call it, right? A certain blah, right? Within God that was instilled and God was inspired to willfully create the world. So now, that's the... In other words, so what they want to do? They want to say that no. In other words, they want to say that even though God creates the world with will, you can't say that this will took place at any time. Right? But rather what? There's always a willful creation of the world. In other words, basically, the willful creation of the world did not take place at any time or any instant, and we can therefore cannot distinguish... We cannot identify a change in God's will before, quote, and after, quote, creation. Okay? And that's what the Rambam says. Heim Amru, they said, okay? Ma shechayev oisano, loy la alois la das. Right? She poyel dova, elim kena poyel koydin lepulosa bezman. Okay. Like this. What they're saying is the following thing. When we say that a person, right, when we say, right, in other words, when a person intends to do something. So what do we say? We say that the intent, whenever an act is done intentionally, whenever there's an intentional act, so what do we say? We say that the person who performs the act, right, had an intention, a desire before the act. In other words, the intention has to necessarily, logically precede the act. Right? In other words, if we say that God's willful creation of the world involved a change in will, that's because somehow the will has to precede the act in some way. An act cannot be willful unless there's a will before the act. Okay? So he says this whole notion of understanding that the will precedes the act is a human notion. In other words, a human notion means it applies to people. In other words, people, when they perform willful acts, so they have a will which precedes the act. And therefore, you can say that before they perform the act is potential. And then when they act, it becomes active. So there's a passage from potential to active based upon a person's will, which preceded the act. So they said that this whole notion is the way we look at things. Aval Eloi Yisale, but according to Baruch Hu, right? Asher, right? Yisale. Asher ain't by head of ain't by dove b'koyach klal, but there's no notion of potentiality by a kodesh baruch hu, right? This is once again the argument that Aristotle, well, Rabbah makes for Aristotle in chapter 13. You can't say that God potentially does something, right? God is always active, in actu, as we say in Latin. In other words, God's always active. There can't be a change in God's status. So in other words, basically God's intention, right, cannot precede his action. In other words, God's always acting. In other words, we can say that God's creation is intentional, but the intention doesn't precede God's action, so he's always intentionally acting. Just like God's essence is separate from our essence, there's a tremendous difference between God's essence and man's essence, right? Therefore, God's acts are much different. They're not to be compared to man's acts. In specific, in reference to this issue, that we can't say that God has intentions before he acts, but rather God is perennially acting and perennially intending. So we can say they're intentional acts, which don't take place within temporal frameworks. So he says, "What did mamish l'devrayim beyichud v'ratzon?" So he says this is their theory when it comes to yichud and ratzon. Yichud means the particularization. I think that's the term that's used usually by Herbert Davidson. The particularization of the physical world. There's no difference between acting and intending and particularizing and choosing. It's all the same. It's all one mush, one fudge. Hey, Amru, they say, and Kefisha's bottom. Of course, his action can't change either, because that's Aristotelian eternity. If God's actions, first of all, God's actions change, then God decided he wanted to change, and then you have changes in God, to God's attention. So basically, these later philosophers of eternity believe that, in fact, just like God's action is perennial, but God's intention is also perennial. In other words, from the God standpoint, from the God point of view, there's no contradiction between continual action and intention. Okay? That's what they want to say. Now, before we go on, this is very, very nice. How come the way we're interpreting the Rambam, you don't have to, you have to do this chalitza. In other words, how come the Rambam didn't suggest this? In other words, instead of the Rambam leaving things in a deusable dichotomy, the Rambam should have said, don't really know the world's eternal, but that, you know, God's Ratzon is, it's not the other, like our Ratzon, and therefore we don't have these problems. In other words, the Rambam could have considered this as an option to believe him, instead of, you know, stating that there's this incredible dichotomy between creation ex nihilo and between the eternity of the world. In other words, the Rambam, this could have been a tailored, an answer, a synthesis that the Rambam himself could have considered. Instead of, in other words, we've been busy with the Rambam going back and forth what the Rambam understands to, and there's steals, there's paradox contradictions. The Rambam could have said, okay, we have a unified field theory, you know, a synthesis of these two things, the mind of Manoyim. Let's go with this. However, the Rambam is going to reject this. And it's very, very interesting to see how he rejects this, because I think it's going to tell a lot about really what the Rambam really thinks. Okay? Obviously, the Rambam felt that this is a real possibility, because he devotes the entire chapter to it, but he rejects it. Now, why does he reject this? Okay, now, first of all, whenever the Rambam gets down to business, he always addresses the reader, you know. And here too, his balacha eifo atam ayim b'sifri zeh. You are being ba'ayin in my sefer. In other words, the Rambam obviously is speaking on two levels. I mean, the partial level is rejecting it, but really the deeper level is that given the Rambam's complex understanding of the relationship between Krishna Nilo and eternity, right, why is this not a possibility? So if you said you're really being ma'ayin to my sefer, you're going to understand why I reject this. In other words, why only things like dichotomy? Ki eile shinu es habitu chiyov, aval ish'ilo es mashmu usay. Okay? Basically, they've changed the word chiyov, which means deterministic, but basically, it means the same. The Rambam was being actually Wittgensteinian in that, in fact, actually, or logical positivist. In fact, actually, the Rambam claims it's only a play with words, and really, they are not really communicating anything of real meaning. Right? In other words, it's sophistry, sophism. Sophistry is, I think, the proper expression to be using. In other words, the Rambam is saying it's a sleight of hand. It's a bluff. It's not a real... they haven't made a real distinction. They haven't made a real distinction. Okay, now. Maybe it says, maybe what they're trying to do is just sort of like window dressing. They're trying to make things nice. They're trying to dress things up, you know? Let's go back over again and let's read a little carefully, like this. Now, says the Ram, Ki mashmos hayoyis ha-metzius ha-zois, b'chuyeves min ha-ila shalah, tomit, b'kevet shumas medes. In other words, things are determined, says the Rambam, right? In other words, events, nature of the world is determined, right? And it's mas medes. In other words, it constantly, in other words, the world, the natural world, constantly goes, you know, continuously operates the way it operates, because that's what determines scientifically. And the reason being is that because the way he determines is God, like Aristotle says, he much most right? This is the meaning that things are created by God, or pikavadasa gatzaynoi, chirasav yichudai. Elashahu hayame oilam kach v'yelo oilam kach. In other words, God always was and always will be. Kabojus Rikas Hashem is poilus as Hayoim Bali Safek, right? In other words, even though one to come before the other, it constantly happens. Achloy Zois Mashmosa Kavona Shalaya Anu Miskavnim. El Kavanosul Bakak, Shu Dainu Oilam, Enu Bechuyu Bimenis Ale, Kamosha Olam Miskai Mi Losoi. Says the Ram the following thing. This is the Ram is like this. You could say that the world is determined, and God is constantly, right? God, who's the source of determinism, the first cause, is determining the world, and the world is determined. And you could, in other words, you could suggest Ratzon. You could say that's called as Ratzon. God's Ratzon is to determine the world. But the Rambam says, that's not our position. Because our position is that God has an option. Says the Rambam, there's an antinomy between determinism and will. The Rambam has said that, Shnei Hafuchim, right? On chapter 20. In other words, even if you say that a person willfully does something, but if there's no alternative, if the person didn't have an alternative, right? So the will is meaningless. Like a deal you can't refuse. In other words, it's meaningless. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's not what we mean by will is. The Hainu, I'm on 329, once again, read the first paragraph. In other words, the world doesn't have to be created in the way God created it. It's not that God can't separate himself from the world. In other words, these philosophers believe that the world has to be the way it is. And that represents God's Ratzon. But says the Rambam, my concept of will of Ratzon is different. My concept of Ratzon is that there's an alternative. God did not have to create things like this. He could have read a different way. He can separate himself from the world. In other words, they're attributing a very, very loose and amorphous, if not empty, notion of will to God. Will doesn't mean, will means that I will turn him not to do something. Now, it's very interesting. I was reading an essay. There's a philosopher at Princeton. His name is Professor Frankfurter. And he's Jewish. And he has an interesting essay. What is the difference between a human being and an animal? Did I ever mention this? That's a human being, an animal. So you want to say that human beings have wills? Animals also have wills. You know, you ever see animals have wills too. So Frankfurter says in his essay, it's an essay, I don't want to repeat the name of the book, I'll tell us a Kiddush, but Frankfurter says in this essay is that an animal has what's called a first order will. A human being has what's called a second order will. Meaning what? An animal has a will to do something. He has a will to do something. He might make a choice, but he has a will to do something. A human being to choose not to will something. That's called a second order will. For example, animals might decide to eat this and not eat that. But you'll never see an animal fast on Yom Kippur. In other words, a human being can choose to turn off his will. Not to will something. And I think here, this is what the Rambam is saying. What the Rambam is saying is that God could choose. In other words, according to these philosophers, these philosophers are making, you'll excuse the expression, are making Kadosh Baruch Hu into an animal. He's an animal. You know what? An animal is determined to do something. He has a will. This is the Rambam. That's a first order will, using Professor Frankfurter's Sprach, his language. In other words, that's a first order will. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a second order will. He can decide to turn off things. Because he can be not tech. He can decide not to have a will. That's my interpretation of the Rambam. He doesn't say it foolish, but of course everything's my interpretation of the Rambam. But I think this is the pshat to the Rambam. Because Baruch Hu, in other words, he's not bound by any will. Because I'm not to will something. So says the Rambam, Kasher Tobas Inyan Kach, Hari Yadu Shalom Yitach Lama Shalom Yil Bukhim, Metziya Sayalah, Kamo Shalom Bukhim Va'olo Bilosoi, Vishu Pa'ula Shalom Yil O Alpi Yichuda. In other words, based upon this, says the Rambam, so it turns out the world is not Mechuyev. It isn't deterministic. Right? Bechach Mestakmim Advorim Vadiyam Mevi Yosan Lakorit Shoni Yanim Tzva Shamayim Ashehuchach Hachach Mepsi Shiesto Bechach Siba Haim Siba Zoyis Yail Lishoni Azeh וכך יש חי במציאוסה, או שהסיבה הזו שיקל הפועל את השני הזה. אבל ביחד או ישראל, באופן שאנו, הולכים בעקבות בי שרבנו מאמין. Okay, now, the Rambam now jumps into a different topic whatsoever. Very interesting. In other words, if you asked me, I would have ended Perach Havala right over here. The Rambam, The Rambam basically, maybe if I go back a little bit, what the bottom line of the Rambam is that free will has to be absolute. That's really what's the bottom line of the Rambam. Free has to be absolute. In other words, you can't say that a person, in other words, you can't see what, it's not Chassidish your free will, what they bring from the Rambam himself and Hillel's Gittin, but the Yetzirah is, that's a Hezbollah of the Halacha, but that's not the notion of free will. Man's free will has to be absolute. Now, the fact is that the Rambam is finished. That's it. He trashed them. That's it. They're not acceptable. In other words, their language of Rotzai, of free will, of will, is wrong, says the Rambam. What they did was, it's animal free will. First order free will. In other words, they missed the point, says the Rambam. So, in other words, that should have been at the end. Page 329, second parable, P'Yichudai. Goes on the Rambam. Then now we're going to go to a second Chakira. A second, to be Chayka, to let them investigate another matter. And the question is really, why is this now in chapter 21? It should be a different chapter. And chapter 21, L'Choy would appear was dealing with this opinion, and the Rambam has rejected it. So we'll go to explain this. בכך מסתכלים הדבורים והדין מביא עושה לחקור איסו שני הנצא בשמיים. So says the Rambam, now we're going to explore the changes we see in the heaven. אשר הוא חכור חמייסי שיש לו בערך הסיבה. That these, in other words, that it's clear that these things, there has to be a reason. In other words, everybody agrees there's a reason. According to the Rambam, nothing can be without a reason. Right? The world's at random. Haim Ziba Zoyz Ya'ila L'Shayni Hazeh V'Kach Yizchaya B'Metziusa. Right? Is there a deterministic reason? Right? A design? Or is actually God behind everything? God is, in fact, actually making a decision to do so. And this is, as the Rambam, these are those who go, Be'ikfus Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what we believe. Okay? Now, how would he done Mekach? Let's speak about this. La'achas shenakdim akdoma, after we preface our things, we'll speak about what Shamanism mean for Aristotle. In order that you should understand it. Right? Then I'm going to explain to you Kriyas Ex Nihilo from pure philosophy, Nikias Misilov, that are free of Siluf, of distortion. Das Teret Slula. What's the Rambam doing now? What's he doing? He's speaking about the heavens. Why do the heavens get a separate investigation? And why is he going into this now? What is he saying now that he hasn't said before? So we'll go a little further. We'll finish. We'll try to explain what he says. And after that, we'll try to go back, try to understand why is he actually going off on this tangent. Okay, so he says, Ba'oimroi. So he says, let's go back to Aristotle. Okay? Because how does Aristotle understand the what determines the heavens the way they are? How does he understand it? Now, it's very, very important, before we go to the next paragraph, is, see, the heavens are different than the earth. The earth is physical. But the heavens are not physical. According to Aristotle, they're not physical. And not only are the heavens not physical, but you will recall that according to not Aristotle, and even according to the Rambam in Perikyu Beis, in chapter 12 of section 2, the heavens are created from the thoughts of God. In other words, in the Rambam and Perikyu Beis, which we didn't begin with Perikyu Beis, but that's also part of creation. I'll have to get back to that. Maybe we'll go to a loop at the end of Perikyu Beis. And then the Rambam thinks about that. How did God create the world? And this is, there's not only Plato, it's by Aristotle too. How did God create the world? God thinks the thought, which thinks the thought, and that thought produces a thought, and there's a series of thoughts. At the end, the final thought is what's called the active intellect, and the active intellect somehow produces the first of the cosmological spheres, which in turn become, which are not physical, and they in turn import natural determinism to the events of the world. That's Aristotle's understanding of the sequence of events from God's thinking to his creation of the world. Now, the Rambam is going to quote this, right? This is the important here. Doctor, I'm going to quote this. But Oimroi saying, "Shaseichel arisha nova behechech min akel." In other words, the first thought came from God. In other words, God thought a thought. That's the first. Because there's a series of sichlias. There's a series of thoughts, intelligences, is maybe the proper translations. So the second seichel, the second intelligence, comes from the first intelligence. There was God thinks a thought. That's intelligence number one, right? Picture to yourself, in the comic books, there's like a cloud that comes up. The guy's thinking, and from that comes another cloud. The guy's thinking too, right? V'ashlishi min hasheni v'chein hala. In other words, there was thoughts emanate from thought. God thinks a thought. Thought number one. And then thought number two emanates from thought number one, and thought number three emanates from thought number two. G'shem shu sefer shagolgolim nava be'erach min ha-sechliyah. In other words, just like the galgolim, which are subtle spheres, come from the thoughts, so the thoughts come from other thoughts. In other words, there's a series, there's a deterministic series. One thought produces another thought, which eventually produces the galgolim, which are the celestial spheres, which of course are not physical. Right? This whole Seder, this whole order is known from the works of Aristotle. We've already brought part to this. Now it's interesting, Professor Schwartz lists Chelik Beis Perek Dalet. I would have said Chelik Beis Perek Yud Beis. But whatever it is, in other words, says the Rambam, this is no. This is Aristotle's opinion. Bora she'enu miskav v'chach she'echad hoya v'chach niskad she'menu zeh ha'nevei min ha'behechrech. She're'enu mekabel she'av v'chad v'eil niskadesh. Ela b'nevi ha'chrech esu miskav v'zipatiyot ke'ilu omar ha'sechel ha'rishon wa ha'zibu b'zis ha'sechel ha'sheni ha'sheni ha'zibu b'zis ha'shlishi v'chein hala. V'adinu gal golem v'chein ha'rishon. Now, obviously, there's a problem here, and the Rambam is faced with a problem. What's the problem? The problem is the following thing. I think, in other words, if you read this, it's Chinese. If you read the Pittas, it's also Chinese. So let's first try to understand what's going on. Although it's interesting, by Rosh Yeshiva's Rebbetzin, Shin Yafin, Zuchon Levrocha, she was an expert in languages. So she's an expert in teaching languages. So she wrote a book on Chinese. She taught herself Chinese, and she wrote a book on how to teach Chinese. Now, one of the reasons she picked Chinese, because on the corner of, 60th Avenue in Borough Park, there's a Chinese laundry. And she figured, now that she knows Chinese, she go in there and speak with the guy Chinese. Like she was giving Rabbi Yaffin shirts there all the years, and like she couldn't communicate with the guy. So she walks in there, she starts speaking Chinese. Like, I don't know what he's talking about. Speaking. So then she says, what's the problem? He says, I'm Japanese. So guy, the Chinese laundry doesn't have to be Chinese. Okay, I'm getting, okay, now. I want to claim the following thing. Rambam senses here a problem. Let me explain to you what I think the problem is. And by explaining what the problem is, I'll explain to you why is he going off on this tangent here in this chapter. Like this. The Rambam began chapter 21 by presenting the views of a certain group who felt that will can be embedded into the deterministic mechanism of the world. First order will. God operates by first order will. And the Rambam says it's not true. It's not true. In other words, it's not really the will I'm speaking about. Because something which is mechuyev, something is mechuyev, and it's something which is determined, right? The only type of will we can speak about is the will to continue it as determined. But in other words, when we speak about will, by definition, it has to be undetermined, because I have to be able to have an option. Now, all of this is true. This is what I would claim the problem the Rambam is facing. All of this is true if I speak about a physical process. But what about God's thoughts? When God thinks a thought, which produces a thought, it's hard to say that's a deterministic process. Thinking is what gives us freedom. Thinking is what liberates us. Our ability to think to the contrary, to think of alternatives, that's what gives us free will. So, what the Rambam is saying, I've got a little bit of a problem here. Why? My refutation of this opinion that I can embed will within a deterministic order, my refutation of that is only good if it's physical. But part of the deterministic order, part of Aristotle's creation of the world, are God's thoughts. God's thoughts have to be free. I mean, thinking by definition is an act of freedom. So, says the Rambam the following thing. According to Aristotle, creation occurs when God thinks a thought, which produces a thought, which eventually ends up with the celestial spheres. But these thoughts are, being that they're thoughts, should mean by definition that they're acts of free will, of expression. A thought is not determined. Something physical is determined, but a thought is free by definition. So, If that's true, I have a problem. Why have a problem? Because I have a synthesis of the two concepts. I could say, on one hand, that God creates with a notion of willfulness, of free will, but that this free will is a deterministic process. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that Aristotle's system, where creation begins with the thoughts of God, doesn't that imply, ipso facto, that there is a willfulness and free will of the Creator, which nonetheless can produce an eternally deterministic system? How much longer do we have? What?
20 minutes.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Okay, we'll have time to finish it. Very good. Baruch Hashem. Shakoyach. What's your name?
Avi.
What?
Avi.
Avi. Very good. Okay. Avi is a rising star. Now. So says the Rambam. So how do we deal with this? So says the Rambam, no. These thoughts are deterministic. In other words, Hasechel, in other words, we shouldn't look at these thoughts as being like blurps of inspiration, but rather these thoughts are not less deterministic than other physical processes. That's what the Rambam says. Kilo, it's as if Aristotle is saying, in other words, you think Aristotle meant that the thoughts are mischadesh, they're created in the sense of chidesh, or free will. Says the Rambam, no. The thoughts actually follow the same deterministic line as physical process. That's what the Rambam says. Kilo Omer, this is what Aristotle is saying. Haseichel HaRishon, Hu HaSibu LeMetzius Haseichel HaSheni. VaSheni Sibu LeMetzius HaShlishi V'chein Hala. In other words, basically, one thought determines another thought, just like you're proving a theorem, right? Hu Adid Kashil Galgolim V'chein HaRishon. So now we have an answer to the question. Why did the Rambam go off on this tangent? Very easy. Because the tangent that the Rambam went off on raised the issue that maybe these guys are right. Maybe this opinion that there's an embedded willfulness in determinism is right. If we take back creation to what? To the thoughts of God, that's why the Rambam went on the tangent. Okay? So it's interesting. He says, Lachkore soy. We would be chayka this, being that really this was part and parcel of this entire shita, which the Rambam is basically want to say that according to Aristotle, it's impossible there could be any vestige of a free will decision. Even thoughts, which one would think are by nature, you know, acts of freedom, are in fact actually can be determined too, according to Aristotle. So says the Rambam, right? Etc. Okay, now. Basically, according to Rambam, one has come before the other one, and one consists of the other one. In other words, it's all part of the eternal system. Okay. Marshal Adava says the Rambam, we'll bring a metaphor for this thing, right? She'ilu Oma Mishu, Shemina Echios Arishonim, Novo Hachaspum Vachalokos, Hakashis Varochos, Hatzfifus Vasfigus, Ish Enu Matil Sofak She'il Dainu Achum Vakoalokum, Arova Yotrim is Hachaspum. Let me read the translation of Pinnas, because I think this is. I have to read the translation, and I'll explain to you what he means. It's a very simple thing. He says, right? It is to take an example, as if someone said that roughness, smoothness, hardness, softness, thickness, and absorbency. Nessa derived from the first qualities. For no one doubts that these qualities, I mean heat, cold, humidity, and dryness, produce roughness, softness, hardness, thickness, absorbency, and other similar qualities. According to that, Nessa derived from the first four qualities. You know, the Baal Tanabai should exist with the first four qualities, devoid of the secondary ones. So exactly, and out of the way, Aristotle says, concerning that which exists in general. It's like this. Basically, in other words, from one desk, you could get soft, you get hard, you get hot, and get cold. But it doesn't mean that hot and cold exist at the same time. Well, they're arguing an interesting marshal. What did they say? They're saying like this. They're saying this will with the determinism. So what does that mean? So what it means is, you have a desk. The desk can either be hot and soft. I don't know what desk this is. Maybe it's a plastic desk. Either hot and soft, or cold, or I'm sorry, hot and soft, or cold and hard. So the desk can either be hot, or... You heat the desk, it'll be soft. If you freeze it, you put ice cubes on it, it'll be hard. Now, but you can't say the death, so like this. So the world, so the desk became hot. What they want to say is that maybe the desk is at the same time hot and cold. And, you know, and because and the world's going along and we're choosing the hot from the cold. That's what they want to say. They want to say that everything exists with all its possibilities. And that the natural process basically sort of like picks these possibilities at every stage. In other words, the possibilities exist. And therefore, that's called wolf creation. So you can't say that. A desk can't be hot and soft at the same time. Someone has to make it hard, so hot, someone has to make it cold. You can't say the desk now is both hot and cold. So in other words, someone has to be choosing. I can't say that the desk basically goes through all possibilities or different possibilities, but all possibilities exist there a priori. That's what I'm saying. In other words, the marshal is, they want to say that all the possibilities are there, and the world goes one way, but that's called deterministic. The world has a way of choosing things. And the Rambam says it can't be. You need a willful creator to choose something, but the hot and soft, don't, the hot and cold don't exist a priori. Someone makes it hot and someone makes it cold. So that's the marshal that Rambam is saying over here. So he's saying over here, this is the marshal I'm speaking about there. Okay, now, so goes to the Rambam, I'm on page 330. And concludes, "Al pi oisam mashal atzma oimer arisa al metzias b'shleimusa shedava nevi b'dava atch megiya ila rishona asech larishon or ech shetis the koyle." In other words, basically, this is the chain of events that Aristotle says leads to God. Anu kolalam is kabbalah yikar echad elo shu sevi shakol mashu losa v'skayim yemeno kfita v'lach or anu machzitim b'day shakol devam elo heim pulasa. We take kavod v'rotzay. In other words, once again, the basic machlokes dispute is ontology and ethics. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu acts. In other words, he's the first mover, but everything's determined. He's bounded by the physical order. And we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu has made a choice. So says the Rambam now, I'm going to bring, in other words, now that we've basically examined Aristotle's proofs, although the Rambam did argue on the proofs to a certain extent, but at least what the Rambam has done now is the Rambam says there is, in fact, actually a clear debate. There's a clear debate between Aristotle and us. We can't look to synthesize a type of theory of eternity which is compounded with will. By definition, will means that God has a choice not to create the alternative. We can't say that God wills something and it's determined at the same time. It's a path to the sasya, it's a steal, it's a contradiction. Now,
that last shtickle, the last piece where who was he arguing in the last piece?
I think he's going back to the...
Plato's idea of creation?
No.
Plato might say...
Because Plato's idea of eternity...
No, but Plato's idea of creation, where you have like hardness... coldness and heat would be forms,
yeah, that's true, but I don't think it's on Plato.
Therefore a person can be tall and short at the same time.
But according to Plato creates the world from an amorphous matter. In other words, the Rambam in chapter
amorphous matter is these ideas.
First of all, the Rambam is referred to, we spoke about that, but the Rambam is referred to that specifically. And secondly, in chapter 25, the Rambam does say that according to Plato, you can say that God actually has divine providence. Whereas the Rambam understood, in my opinion, Plato's theory of creation much closer to his in terms of free will than in terms of Aristotle. In other words, Plato is in the same ballpark as the Rambam. Right? The difference between Plato and the Rambam is that Plato believes that there was an amorphous, a primordial substance, which ultimately, according to Plato, is the ideas, which the Rambam doesn't mention. Well, he mentions there, in chapter 6 of section 2.
This last shtickle sounds like he's dafka arguing on a Platonic idea.
Why?
Because this would be a Platonic thing to say, that I could have heat and coldness.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Everything has, really, in a certain sense, everything reflects these different forms.
But I think the Rambam is speaking about in a physical sense, though. I know, look, it could be. I think the Rambam didn't mention Plato. He mentioned... these people seem to be Aristotelians. He mentions Aristotle all along, number one. And number two, I mean, the Rambam does maintain in chapter 25 that Plato's theory of eternity does deliver the goods. In other words, it does, except for what it says in the Torah. creation in B'yesh Mi'at. Well, what the Rambam claims is the pshat of the pasuk B'yesh Ba'alo Kim, Plato's theory of creation does allow God to have free will. He can choose the voice, etc. The Rambam says in chapter 25. So, in other words, given the fact that the Rambam is arguing that Aristotle's system does not allow God to have a will, I don't think he'd be arguing on Plato too, because that would be counterproductive. That's what I think. Okay, fine. I think more or less we've finished here with chapter 21. Beginning in chapter 22, the Rambam was going to actually offer arguments why he believed the world was created ex nihilo. And this will be the subject of the next broadcast. From an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, be well.